Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their complete recommendations for this election and to find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
Gather around. Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
By the way, tomorrow on the show, very pleased to have Eric Trump going to be joining us. We thought it might be today. It's going to be tomorrow, and he'll join us right around 9:30, somewhere in there. But we'll get a chance to visit with Eric Trump. Maybe we'll get a preview of what to expect from the president Saturday in Elko. I always love it when we get together with Jim Yoder. He's our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley, and he joins us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Jim, how you been, my friend?
Hey, I've been okay, Kevin. How have you been?
I've been absolutely wonderful, and I'm all geeked again because the president is going to make his 12th visit to Nevada. He's becoming a regular here, and now he's going to go to Elko. Really exciting. Do you have any feel for what the message is going to be? Is it going to be that positive, look what we've done message?
Well, I think it's really great, first of all, that he gets to go to northern Nevada. Those people don't get to see him as much as you guys do down in Las Vegas. So that's great that they get to hear his message and see him in person. I think he's going to, I don't think the Kavanaugh thing's over yet. I know it's dying down, but that was a pretty big win. And I think any other president would have backed down way early into that process. And the fact that he stuck with this guy shows you how much mettle he has. But, just today, there's 7 million job openings here in this country, and 6.2 million people are unemployed. I mean, anybody that wants a job can get a job now, and they aren't these part-time jobs flipping hamburgers that people had under Obama that he touted the high unemployment rate. These are good, solid paying jobs that you can actually support a family on.
Hey, so Jim, tell me where the disconnect is. We've got more jobs than we have job applicants, yet I still talk to people every day that are looking for work, looking for something that's not a minimum wage job, something that may, God forbid, have benefits. Where is the disconnect for American workers?
The disconnect is that people are not willing, A, to relocate to where a job may be. They want to have one in their neighborhood, so to speak. So the jobs aren't, on every street corner, but they are there if you're willing to compromise a little bit and relocate or take a job that may not be your ideal job but has room for growth. So if you show that you're a good employee and you have some qualities that your employer wants to see, you have an opportunity to grow within the company and actually have yourself a nice career. But people want instant gratification. You know the world we live in now, and they want to have it right now and the way they want it. Well, the world really doesn't work that way. But if you're willing to relocate and you're willing to start at a position that may not be your ideal position but offers you growth and opportunity, I think those jobs are very plentiful.
So what is the Democrat answer? We see all these presidential wannabes, Cory Booker and Elizabeth Warren and her Pocahontas stuff. We see all that, and we even see Hillary now out. She's going on a speaking tour with herself and her husband, Bill. What do Democrats fall back on? Because the economy is going great. Jobs are being created. We've created, 3.5 million new jobs. What is their answer to this?
Well, they don't have an answer. I was listening to you earlier when you played the Alec Baldwin clip, and he talks about how he's horrified every morning when he wakes up. What's he horrified about? I mean, the economy is humming better than it has in 50 years. We don't have people chopping off heads like ISIS. We don't have people rioting in the streets like we did under Obama. I don't understand what the problem is, but they never get specific with you. They certainly can't talk about the economy. They tried that with their crumbs comment, and that didn't go over too well. So they really don't have anything other to complain about except Trump's personality. They just despise the man himself. And so no matter what he does, he will not get credit for. But they don't have any message, so all they can do is just say, hey, how upset they are, but they don't tell us why they're upset.
And, of course, news yesterday that a federal judge dismissed Stormy Daniels' defamation suit against the president. That one didn't have a legal leg to stand on. I think most people understood. But Michael Avenatti, now Michael Avenatti has a client that is going to have to pay Trump's legal bills. And am I right on this? He doesn't hire cheap legal talent, does he?
No, I think this is one of the only times in history that a politician has been paid by a hooker. I don't know, but I think
normally it works in reverse. Okay, I get it.
I think it's pretty ingenious of him. But I understand that Avenatti got hit with a $10 million judgment against him that he has to pay an ex-partner. So I think I don't understand how this guy has not been disbarred. Every attorney I talk to says this guy at the least will be severely sanctioned, but most likely he's going to be disbarred for the stuff he's pulled.
Wow. So the president's got great economic news, and I'm sure he's going to bring that to Elko on Saturday. He's also, and I find this interesting, he's working Western states. He's going to be appearing later this week in both Missoula, Montana, and Mesa, Arizona, before the Saturday appearance in Elko. Is this part of midterms, or is this part of a 2020 reelect movement?
Well, Mesa, Arizona is Jeff Flake's backyard. That's where Jeff Flake lives in that town. And it's got to be midterms because this cinema lady going against McSally, that's a neck-and-neck race. So that's got to be a midterm play right there. And then we all know that isn't Dean Heller only 2 points ahead in his race?
Within the margin of error.
Yes. Well, it's not comfortable. And then you got Danny Tarkanian, and I'm hoping he gets slid in there too this time.
I honestly believe that the polling is probably way off, and I think a lot of these races are a much looser than we're hearing. You've got a race in the People's Republic of California with Cox, a surprisingly good performance against Gavin Newsom. Can you talk a little bit about what you're hearing there in the Coachella Valley?
It's anywhere between a 3 and 6 point advantage to Newsom, the way we understand it. So that's realistically within the margin of error. A lot of people are optimistic about Cox. I'm scared to say that because didn't I just hear where they registered like 15 or 25,000 illegal voters here just recently here in California? And so you never know what they're going to pull, but Cox has done surprisingly well. And there's what I hear in the Coachella Valley is he will win the Coachella Valley. He's going to win a lot of Southern California east of the coast itself. You know, you get just inland, maybe 40 miles inland, and it becomes pretty conservative all the way up the state.
Well, we have visited with, it's John Cox, right? John Cox?
John Cox.
Yeah, yes. And we will probably have him on again in the next couple of weeks. Do you guys have early voting, or what's the deal in California?
We do have early voting. It starts, I think, like 10 days before the election, but we do have early voting. And, you know, that's the thing. There's a lot of people that, you know, died 3 or 4 years ago that are getting ready to place their votes right now, too, here in California. But we're going to try to keep that to a minimum.
It is interesting, though. You guys have we've got question 5 on the ballot here that's essentially a motor voter deal. And a lot of people say it is rife with, the possibility that illegals are going to vote illegally. You've got those 25,000 that registered that don't qualify. Am I right on this that they're thinking of even backing off of the motor voter for a while or suspending it or doing something?
Well, I hadn't heard that, but the motor voter here is a lot more than 25,000. 25,000 is a drop in the bucket. Anybody in the state can go and get a driver's license. Therefore, anybody that has a driver's license can vote. So, I mean, there's talk here that over 1 million people illegally voted in the last election year. Well over 1 million people. Nobody really knows because they disguise it so well. But you can rest assured that there's a lot of illegal voting done in the state of California, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. I don't understand about this voter ID being voter suppression. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, to cash a check in a bank or to check into a hotel or get on an airplane or for these people to go get their Social Security check, you have to show an ID. And I don't feel suppressed if I have to show my ID to check into a hotel in Las Vegas. Why should I feel suppressed if I have to show an ID that I'm registered to vote in that state? I don't understand that argument. The only answer for that is that that's the only way that Democrats can assure that they can cheat. And if the Democrats can't cheat, then they have no chance of winning. Because no sane person who's educated, who works for themselves, and wants to do the best for their family would ever vote for Democrat policies.
Again, Jim Yoder joining us, our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley, talking about what's going on in SoCal, joining us on our City National Bank Guest Hotline. I want to ask you, because one of the things since we last talked, Governor Moonbeam signed into law a bill that will raise the age requirement to 21 for purchase of a weapon. What the hell is going on there?
It was specific to rifles and shotguns. You have to be 21. But at the same time, Kevin, just shows you how crazy the state is, he lowered the age for someone to have a sex change to 12. So anybody 12 and over can have a sex change no matter what. But you have to be 21 to protect yourself.
Tell me what they're trying to do. Do they really think this is going to make us safer?
I don't think they're willing to or thinking that's going to make you safer. I think they're playing to such a severe left part of their base. I think they're so they just have to do anything they can to get voters, because let's look at it realistically here. Donald Trump has really, no matter what some of these people in the press would have you believe, he's done a lot for the African American community. He's really built them up. He's, you know, he welcomes them into the Oval Office. He listens to these pastors around the country. He's done so much for them, and he got something like 8% of the vote in 2016. But now he's got a 35% approval rating with the African American community, and basically anything over 15% devastates the Democrats, because if they can't get 85% of the African-American vote, they have no chance of winning elections. And so the Democrats have to go somewhere else to get the votes.
And by the way, now he has Kanye West on his side, wearing that MAGA hat into the Oval Office and essentially being on stage for like 10 or 15 minutes in the Oval Office. What did you make of that? That was surreal, watching Kanye West in the Oval.
You know, I've never really been a real Kanye West follower, per se. I don't follow his music. And the only time I really pay attention to him is when I see one of the antics that he tends to pull. But if you listen to him over the last couple of months, you have to at least respect him. And the guy is authentic. And he's a genuine guy. He really believes what he's saying. And I don't think the left can stand it. I mean, they're just they think that he's crazy. Yet you have Nancy Pelosi, who hardly remembers that Bush is not president. You have this girl in Brooklyn, Alexandria Cortez. She thinks that if you get Medicare to everybody, it's going to end funerals for some reason. You have Cory Booker that thinks he's Spartacus. Yet Kanye's crazy because he's in the Oval Office talking about how great Trump is. You know, I don't understand it. All these people criticizing Kanye West, remember, they're the ones that are in parades dressing in vagina costumes, too. So
yeah,
I don't know who the crazy one is here.
You know, the first thing, Jim, I thought about, I thought about, you know, even going back in time, thinking about the way they treated the trailer trash, the bimbo eruptions during the Clinton campaign. And how they just trashed him. Now they're trying to make Kanye West out. Get him off the stage for his own good. Silence him, please.
Yeah.
And all they really want to do is shut him up.
That's right. Because he's not towing the company line that they have to have. I mean, you know, the blacks have to be controlled by the Democrats because the Democrats know better than they do how to run their lives. And heaven forbid that you give them the freedom to go out and get themselves a good job so they can support themselves and have families and have a father in the home, then guess what? You don't need the Democrats handing you goodies all the time anymore, so you don't need to vote for them.
More with Jim Yoder. We're going to talk about Pocahontas and this whole Pocahontas controversy. The Cherokee Nation has gone nuts, not at the president for calling her Pocahontas, but for Elizabeth Warren. They're going after the senator from Massachusetts for even bringing this whole DNA thing up. We'll talk about that more coming up. Live and local now.
Have you always dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with solid computer skills and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be a part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie McKay right now at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447.
My name is Dustin Coney. I'm the owner of Mr. Coney's Barbershop, and I'm a proud client of City National Bank. My grandfather was a barber, grew up in his shop, sweeping the floors. Being a barber is more than just somebody that's cutting hair. You are a friend, you're a brother, you're a neighbor, and that's what inspired me to get into it. I was referred to City National by Gina McAllister. She is somebody that I trust with my entire business.
When Dustin came to me as a new business owner, I knew referring him to City National Bank would be a good idea because I knew they would take care of him.
It was important to be with people that I know care about me and my success and offer products and services that will help my business reach its long-term goals. I see Mr. Coney's being in every city in the United States of America. I see products, I see hair salons, I see everything. And I know as my business grows, my relationship with City National will grow.
The people you trust City National. Visit CNB.com to learn more. City National Bank, an RBC company. CNB, member FDIC.
Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
Do you want to earn a higher rate of return than you're making in the stock market? I'm talking about beating the market year after year. Hi, I'm Greg Herlihan. If you want to make more tax-free income, call me today at 888-738-1764. I specialize in helping people make more tax-free income with an IRA-approved retirement vehicle. And best of all, it's approved by the IRS. So what are you waiting on? Call me at 888-738-1764 and take control of your financial future with tax-free income. Call me at 888-738-1764. The consultation is absolutely free, so call me at 888-738-1764.
Horizon Trust Company is an independent passive custodian and is not associated or affiliated with and does not recommend, promote, or advise any specific investment, investment opportunity, investment company, or any agents, employees, representatives, or other of such firms or entities. Investments are not FDIC insured, offer no bank guarantee, and may lose value.
Take control of your financial future. Call 888-738-1764.
The U.S.-Mexican border is overrun by Mexican drug cartels, drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, illegal immigration, and violence. President Trump asked governors in the Southwest to send National Guard troops to the border to help out just until Trump builds a wall. But Adam Laxalt refused President Trump's request to send Nevada National Guard troops to the border. But Ryan Bundy will work with President Trump and defend our border. Vote Ryan Bundy for Nevada governor. Paid for by Ryan Bundy for governor campaign.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Jim Yoder joining us in our final couple of minutes. This whole Pocahontas thing, though, is this going to go away, or is this something that's going to lead up to the 2020? What do you think?
For her sake, it better go away. I mean, I've never heard of a person digging themselves into a hole as deep as she's dug herself into, and then you hand her a shovel and she just keeps digging. I mean, she thought when she woke up yesterday morning and she texted out that she was like 164th or something, that she was 164th Cherokee Indian or whatever it was, she thought she was going to nail Trump. I mean, she was pretty arrogant about it, telling him where to send the check and all this stuff. Then the Boston Globe comes out and makes a correction to it, saying, no, it's only 512. And then they have to correct it again and says, no, it's one out of 1,024th. And even this morning, she's doubling down, and she won't let it go. I mean, even CNN, her biggest constituent, is saying, "Hey, cool it here. You know, you're in trouble." And she keeps going. So that could be one of the best gifts the Republicans could get, because this lady honestly thinks she's going to run for president.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Jim, always good, my friend. It's always good to get a chance to visit with you. I know we'll talk with you before Election Day, because it's going to be big both in SoCal, in the Coachella Valley, and here in Nevada. Thank you so much. Always good. You have a great week, okay?
Hey, I look forward to being in studio with you in a couple weeks, Kevin. Thank you for the call.
There you go. Jim Yoder, our eyes and ears in the Coachella Valley. Coming up, we've got breaking news on federally facilitated exchanges around the country. Could it be that healthcare premiums are going to eventually go down? We'll talk about that more coming up. Live and local now.
Hey, 790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it is live and local now in communities like Ely, in Sparks, in Reno, in Carson City, in Las Vegas, all across the Coachella Valley, in Palm Springs and Palm Desert. It is live and local now. When I saw this, I didn't believe it. Because for years now, since the arrival of Obamacare, we have seen premiums go up and up and up and up. And people have been priced out of health care in this country. There are people who just say, I can't afford it. Now we have word that premiums on federally facilitated exchanges are actually going to drop in some cases in 2019. That's why we wanted to have Seema Verma on, the administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They are charged by Congress with running a bunch of these health care programs. And Seema joins us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Seema, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on the show today.
And by the way, did I see this right? The premiums, and these are on federally facilitated exchanges, are actually going down in 2019?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, as you know, the Trump administration inherited an Obamacare insurance market in chaos, right? We had premiums skyrocketing and plan choices dwindling. I mean, actually, rates had gone up by over 100% in so many states. And we also saw that 50% of the counties in America only had one plan choice available. But the administration, under the president's leadership, has taken immediate action to stabilize the market and offer more affordable choices. We've done a lot of different things. We've cleaned up a lot of the onerous regulations to give states more flexibility. We approved waivers for 7 states. And one of the most important things that the president did was he eliminated the individual mandate penalty. And as you know, that was forcing people to choose between paying a penalty or buying coverage that they couldn't afford. And so with all of the things that we've done, we've also allowed for short-term limited duration plans and association health plans. And all of these efforts have come together, and we've actually are going to see a drop. So it's about 1.5% across the nation. In Nevada, that's actually going down by 4.3%. So, you know, these are small changes, and I can tell you that we're still not satisfied. The rates are still high. But I think what this shows is that the administration's been very hard at work trying to stabilize the marketplace and try to provide more choices at affordable rates for Americans.
Again, Seema Verma joining us, administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, joining us on our City National Bank guest hotline. I know Chuck Schumer was on the floor of the United States Senate a week or so ago railing really against these short-term policies. My feeling has always been there is no one-size-fits-all that works for America, and that these short-term policies are an answer to what people actually want in their healthcare policies. How far did that legislation go?
Well, it went nowhere. And at the end of the day, what this administration wants to do is they want to make sure that people have choices about their healthcare plans. And short-term limited duration plans may not work for everybody, but we know that there's so many Americans, there's 20 million Americans that are still uninsured. And part of the reason is they can't afford the high rates that the Obamacare plans cost. And so, you know, having things like short-term limited duration plans, it gives an alternative to those expensive Obamacare plans. And it gives people an affordable coverage and gives them coverage that they may not have otherwise.
The premiums on federally facilitated exchanges will be dropping in 2019. Is this across the board? Is this individual states? Exactly what?
So across the board, you know, we're seeing an average of, you know, 1.5%. But there are cases. So, for example, in Tennessee, rates are decreasing by 26%, 16% in Pennsylvania, 15% in New Hampshire. We have some states that have had some very small increases, but generally we're not seeing the type of double-digit increases that we've seen in the past under the previous administration.
And for Nevada, are our numbers going down or are they going up?
Well, Nevada, it's going down by 4.3%, so not as large and as high as some other states, but I think this is very significant considering the past and where the state's been in terms of the increases that you've seen previously.
So explain how you're doing this. I know you talked about waste and fraud and things like that, but the actuarial tables are what they are. They haven't changed in the course of the last few years since the president took office. How are you accomplishing this?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, under the president's leadership, he made it very clear that we needed to clean up the regulations under Obamacare. and try to give states more flexibility to stabilize their marketplace. So we changed a lot of the rules, to hopefully provide more program integrity and give states more flexibility. We're also approving waivers for states. So some states are coming to us saying, look, we want out from under Obamacare rules, and they've given us requests, and we've responded to those and granted those waivers, and that's helped lower costs. And like I said, I think the individual getting rid of the individual mandate has also really helped a tremendous amount of Americans. You know, over 80% of the people, or almost 80% of the individuals that were paying the penalty under the individual mandate were earning less than $50,000 a year. So by getting rid of that individual mandate, I think we're helping so many Americans, in terms of not being harmed by Obamacare.
I still see Bernie Sanders out on the stump promoting single payer. Is single payer dead? I know they've tried it in places like Vermont. Is it DEAD dead on arrival?
I think so. I mean, you know, we're having all these discussions about Medicare for All, right, which is more government-run single-payer system health care. And we've tried government-run health care. That's Obamacare, right? And it's been a failure. What we've seen is rates going up by over 100%. We've seen people have less choices about their health care, limited networks. And so I guess I'm having a hard time understanding why folks are want Medicare for All when we're standing in the face of failure with Obamacare.
What about the future? I want to ask you about the future because a lot of people are saying that Obamacare, as we have known it, come to know it, is collapsing bit by bit, piece by piece. Tell me what you see for the future of, quote, Obamacare. And is it eventually just going to go away either via legislation or via the U.S. Supreme Court?
You know, ultimately, I don't think that we're going to have the type of relief that Americans need from Obamacare until the law changes. That being said, the president is focused on making sure that Americans have affordable choices about their health care. So we're going to work towards that goal. I think one of the things that we need to have happen is we need to provide even more flexibility for states. I mean, the idea that Washington is going to come up with a one-size-fits-all approach that's going to work for every state in America is just not true, and we're seeing the results of that. And so this administration wants to empower states and give them more flexibility to get out from the rules of Obamacare and create more creative and innovative solutions that are going to work well in their communities.
Again, Seema Verma joining us, administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the people that administrate, that actually bring you health care in this country on a lot of different platforms. I want to ask you, you spend a lot of time on Capitol Hill. Are Democrats finally getting the message that Obamacare, as we have known it, just doesn't work, and that there has to be another solution, and that the president might have the right solution here?
Well, I can't speak for any particular party, but what I can say is that the facts are very clear. Rates have gone up by over, 100% over the last few years. And even though we're seeing some stabilization in the rates, the reality is it's just too expensive, right? So we've had triple-digit increases. And so it's still so unaffordable for so many people, and we still don't have the types of choices and health plans that we want to see across America. I mean, we've reduced the number of counties that only have a single choice of insurer. That used to be at around 56%, and that's going to go down to 39%. But the reality is we still have a lot of work to do, and the law needs to change in order for all Americans to have relief from Obamacare.
Seema, a lot of people objected at one point to what I called an $8 billion slush fund, whatever you want to call it, where insurance companies actually were able to recoup some of their losses. Are we still doing that? Are we still giving money to the insurance companies in order for them to not abandon counties?
Well, a lot of the reinsurance programs, by law have gone away. We do have a risk adjustment program, but, there's been a lot of problems with that, and the administration has had to defend a lot of the, lawsuits that have come about from this law because of its poor construction.
Well, I can tell you a lot of people are going to be absolutely stunned by the news you are bringing, that premiums across the board are coming down for health care. We always talked, you probably remember back to 2010 and the campaign to enact the Obamacare, and it was, we're going to bend the cost curve down. The problem is the cost curve kept going up. Now you're saying it really is coming down for real.
It really is, and I think this speaks to the president's leadership. I mean, we're seeing premiums come down across the board. So today, you know, we've talked about Medicare, or we've talked about the exchanges, but rates are actually going down in the Medicare Advantage program. Open enrollment just started on Monday, and we actually saw a reduction in those premiums as well by 6%. So it's not only the exchanges are going down in Medicare Advantage, and we're also seeing lower Part D premiums for our seniors. So collectively, I think you can see the results of the president's leadership and his commitment to the American people and lowering health care costs.
I would be remiss if I didn't, in our final couple of minutes, just ask you about Medicaid. Here in Nevada, our governor embraced, and in fact, our U.S. senator at the time, embraced the idea of increasing Medicaid rolls. What is it, 200,000 people, something like that. And I guess my question is, have we figured a fix, because these Medicaid expansion states are going to go broke eventually once the federal government gets out of the business of funding this stuff?
Yeah, so Medicaid funding is certainly a problem across the nation. We know that Medicaid funding is, you know, a lot of times states are, it's their number one budget item, if not the number two budget item. And our expenditures are growing faster than the economy. We just released a report on that. You know, I think our pathway forward on Medicaid is a couple of things. We need to put the program on a sustainable path for the future. We need to provide states with a budget and then hold them accountable for producing positive health outcomes. You know, one of the first things that we've done under this administration is put out a Medicaid scorecard, so that for the very first time, there's transparency about what's going on in the Medicaid program and what types of results the program is achieving. But I think at the end of the day, we need to have more flexibility for states. Governors and state legislatures have a better idea of what's going to work in their states than the federal government does.
Are the states asking, though, for more of a federal contribution? Because the federal contribution has gone down over the years. Are they looking to ramp that back up?
You know, I think that Medicaid funding in states is always a challenge, and I think that's what a lot of the concern was around Medicaid expansion, that it was diverting resources from the most vulnerable people on the program, the aged, the blind, the disabled, pregnant women and children, and diverting those resources to able-bodied individuals. And so I think that's been why there's been so much controversy around the Medicaid expansion. You know, from my perspective, we want people to have affordable access to coverage, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be within the Medicaid program. The Medicaid program was designed for a more vulnerable population. It's really not designed to address the needs of able-bodied adults.
Seema, just so you know, and I know you are, you know, you are the head, the administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service. That is a major issue here in Nevada. It's a major political issue, and it also impacts 200,000 people, families. So just so you know, it's a major issue out here. What you've done for Obamacare, I hope you'll continue to work on Medicaid, because that's a big, big deal out here.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it. And it's been a pleasure to be on your show today.
Thank you so much, Seema. Thank you. That is Seema Verma, the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. With good news, when was the last time we brought you good news on the Obamacare front? Has it been years? But now we're finding that, at least in Nevada, she says that for the federally facilitated exchanges, the premiums are going down 4%. Could that be? We'll talk about that more coming up. Oh, it's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. You want to join us? We'll get to your calls coming up. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall, the program, live and local, now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote, and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5.
A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their complete recommendations for this election and to find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4, paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
This is an important voter alert for anyone who doesn't want Nevada to turn into California. If you want to protect your gun rights, your parental rights, even your rights to use a plastic straw, check out Dennis Hoff. Dennis is a conservative small businessman running for the Nevada State Assembly. He signed the Taxpayer Protection Pledge and is dedicated to making Nevada, Nevada again. Check him out at DennisHoff.com. That's DennisHoff.com. Paid for by Friends of Dennis Hoff.
Two men, two different paths. Las Vegas politician Steve Sisolak started as a telemarketer, hounding Nevadans with calls during dinner. Then he became a politician, first a university regent, doubling tuition prices on Nevada students, and later as a Clark County commissioner, where Sisolak was called corrupt by a judge, investigated by the FBI. Sisolak has reportedly handed out government contracts to his Las Vegas contributors. Then there's Adam Laxalt. Laxalt served our nation in uniform, volunteered for Iraq, taught at the Naval Academy, became America's youngest attorney general. Laxalt tackled opioid abuse, prosecuted elder fraud, fought for our local land and water rights, and has successfully led the way in protecting our constitutional rights as Nevadans. Sisolak and Laxalt, which one for governor? Sisolak, who has always looked out for himself, or Adam Laxalt, who has always looked out for you? Paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message, paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
So good to have you with us. It is live and local now for a Tuesday. Don't forget, all in-studio guests on Live and Local Now receive a bottle of Real Water. Now, with Real Water, you can hydrate like never before. How do they do it? Well, since Real Water is alkaline with an 8.0 pH and negative ionized, it can help your body to restore balance and reach your full potential. Real Water, it's available right now at Terrible Herbs gas stations all across the state of Nevada and in participating Valley Meat Markets in Indio for the everyday low price of just $2 for $3. That's right, $2 for $3. If you want to save even more, do what I do. Do what Wayne Allen Root does. RealWaterHomeDelivery.com. Yeah, they bring it right to your door. In fact, I think my delivery day is Thursday. Yeah. I just love it. And I save tons of dough on my Real Water. So check it out, RealWaterHomeDelivery.com. Let's get to your phone calls. Let's go first to Mark. Mark, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, we all know Elizabeth Warren speaks with a forked tongue. All the Democrats do. Remember when Hillary was in her plane, she was taking bullets on the tarmac?
Oh, yeah. In Bosnia or someplace, yeah.
Yeah, and we got to thank Harry Reid for that 51 vote that he changed. Remember, he enacted that new vote to tip the scales for judges that Buck Obama was trying to get into the Supreme Court? Well, that's karma, and it got Kavanaugh over the line. Thanks, Harry. Good job. And they always bring up Garland. Well, the only reason we didn't give Garland a hearing was that we don't allow lame duck presidents, that is, presidents in their last year in office, to put people on the Supreme Court. But if Nancy Pelosi gets a Speaker of the House job, she'll impeach Kavanaugh, too. Luckily, there's a monkey wrench in the gears. As of right now, Pelosi can't get 85% of the black vote, and that's what she's counting on. That's just not going to happen because there's a lot of Democratic black voters that have had it. They're fed up. No way Fancy Nancy gets those votes. I've heard black people say the DNC is and always has been racist, and when all Buck Obama did in 8 years was put more blacks on the welfare rolls, that was it. They had it then. Trump did more for them in a couple of years than the prior eight.
Do yourself a favor, Mark. Go see Dinesh D'Souza's latest film. You can probably download it. And it will give you chapter and verse on that whole Democrats and the black vote and the African American community. That's why hashtag walking away is so vitally important. And we're already seeing it, believe it or not. I'm going to give the last word to my buddy JD. JD, you're up. I got about 90 seconds before we break, and we break for good. What's going on?
Real quick, 3 points. Poll watchers, when you vote, at least volunteer one day to be a poll watcher so they know we're there. A lot of my friends say they haven't gotten their ballots in the mail yet, and early voting's on the 20th. I haven't got mine. And third, most important, that Bundy ad that I'm hearing on your station is criticizing Laxalt for not calling out the National Guard. It is not Laxalt's. He has no authority to call out the National Guard. It's going to hurt Laxalt in drawing some votes away from only the governor could call out the National Guard.
By the way, FYI, I just got my official sample ballot in the mail yesterday. So my guess is you'll be getting yours hopefully before Saturday.
What about Bundy?
About Bundy?
The National Guard, not calling out the National Guard, Laxalt.
My understanding is the governor is the only one that can call out the National Guard. Unless that has changed, he's the one that can call out the National Guard. For instance, we always talk about the president calling out the National Guard. The president does it. The president gets the governor to call out the National Guard. Anyway, that's going to just about do it. I did get my official sample ballot. Yeah. I got it. You'll be getting yours in the mail. If you do not, make sure you check with the registrar, Joe Gloria, here in Clark County. Want to remind you, it's up now on all of our platforms. If you want tickets to see the president in Elko on Saturday, 11 a.m., make sure you check out KevinWallRadio.com. Or check us out on Facebook and Twitter. We got all the information you need right there. Okay? Till we join you tomorrow, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day. Live and local. Now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I trust Adam Laxalt to protect Nevada's identity and our values as governor. As Attorney General, he protected us from sanctuary cities and threats to free speech. His opponent, known as Shady Steve Sisolak, was called corrupt by a judge for trying to give government contracts to political cronies. He claims every tax is on the table and plans on raising our property taxes. As governor, Adam Laxalt will keep Nevada prosperous and free and keep us from turning into California. Early voting begins October 20th, paid for by Laxalt for Nevada. Roberto's Taco Shop.
real Mexican food you like.
In Mexico, there was a phrase we used to say after enjoying a wonderful meal. Fabuloso. That's what best describes the authentic Mexican dishes prepared at Roberto's. Choose from over 100 family recipes. You see, Roberto's uses only the finest and freshest ingredients available.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Ah, it's going to be a glorious day.